This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Before we have our reading today, I want to remind you of something from Job. From Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. There once was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, who feared God and turned away from evil. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand, strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he's in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and he scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." Job replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all of this, Job did not sin in what he said. You need to have that background information fresh in your mind so that you can understand what's going on in our Bible reading today from Mark chapter 10. Some Pharisees came and tested Jesus by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" Jesus replied. They said, "Well, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. Jesus answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife, marries another woman, commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." And people were bringing little children to Jesus to have Jesus touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, Jesus was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And Jesus took the child in his arms, took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're talking about a couple of different things today. We're talking about people trying to trick Jesus. We're talking about divorce. We're talking about children. Before we get much further, when you hear about children and child abuse, I don't think there's anything else that makes people more angry across the board. Maybe animal abuse, but not even that, because Jesus says specific things about making sure you do not hurt each other. When that mom glued her child to the wall and beat her two-year-old until the two-year-old went into a coma, everybody was outraged. They figured that such a human being is dangerous to society, and so they put her away from society so she could not hurt any other child. That's what happens. When it's uncovered and we see that, things are taken care of, and those people are put away. The children are protected. Children are hurt by wicked people. In some countries in the world, young children are thought of as pure and holy. And so what happens is they think that if they hurt young children as some kind of a way to take care of their illness. And so you have adults out of superstitious ignorance hurting children, thinking that their life will be better. Children are hurt by that as well. Then, of course, there's all the stuff going on with a gay, lesbian, transgender, transsexual, transspecies, you call it whatever it is, that homosexual agenda. A lot of people don't know this. If you look on that homosexual agenda and you look at the bottom things, what they're trying to get people in society ready for, what they're trying to get you and I and our children used to and prepared to accept is abuse happening to children from adults to child on a regular basis, as if that's okay. Just so you know, the sermon today is not about child abuse, and I didn't tell you to remind you of all that, to remind you, to stir you up in anger so that you can all go do something. That's not what it's about. It's to let you know something about kids. Across the board, throughout history, from Jesus' day, before his day, until now, children are vulnerable. Why? Because they're kids. That's all you have to say. Children are kids. They're weak. They're gullible. They don't know enough about life. They automatically trust the adult that they're with. Children are weak. They're kids. So when you put divorce in this whole mix of this world, it doesn't help the kids any. In fact, when you look at the kids in divorced families, they have to go through their own pain, separate from their parents. It's a different thing going on with them. And it hurts the child, no matter what age the child is, when their parents divorced. Why is there divorce? Well, sometimes there is a selfish interest of one spouse over against another spouse. Sometimes there is adultery, where they fracture and they break the marriage on purpose. Sometimes there's divorce because they want to keep the fifth commandment, which says, protect your life. And so they have to break the sixth commandment, which says, protect marriage, so they can be alive. We live in an incredibly wicked world. This beautiful gift that God gave Adam and Eve that we heard about, the only gift that we are allowed to take out of the Garden of Eden, we have trashed that. And we've twisted it all inside and out, and we've ruined it and caused endless pain. Now, if you're thinking that, oh good, today I'm going to find out how I can divorce my husband or my wife, you're not going to hear that. That's not what this talk's about. If today you're going to say, well, finally get some peace to find out that it's okay whatever I did, it's fine. You're not going to hear that either. If you're coming here to hear, well, I'm better than those guys because I got my act together, you're not going to hear anything about that either, because that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about a black and white issue. It's pretty clear cut. His disciples didn't get it. So he took them aside privately, and again, he tried to teach them what's going on. And to understand this, you have to go back and look at Job. Let's look at Job, shall we? Job's wife. It's pretty simple for her. She looked at her life and she thought like this. I got it good. My husband's honored in society. He's got lots of cash. We have a family that loves us. It shows I love my family. They love me. We have all this money. We're safe, secure. I'm all healthy. My husband's healthy. Everything's great. And then in one day, Mr. and Mrs. Job lost everything. A tornado came to where all the kids were gathered for a party, and the tornado killed every one of their kids when the roof fell down and crushed them. While they're still reeling with that news, somebody comes in and says, your businesses have been taken over by another country. All of your bank accounts have been drained, and your workers are no longer here. In the space of, must have been like 15, 20 minutes, he found that he went from everything to having nothing. And then Job got sick. And that illness must have been a doozy because Satan was connected with that. From the soles of his feet to the top of his head covered with sores, the Bible says worms were crawling out of them to get some relief. He takes pieces of broken pottery and scrapes himself to get some kind of relief. Well, that was it. Job's wife put two and two together. You've lost all your money. You lost the kids. You've lost your honor. You've lost your health. It's obvious that you and God are on the outs, so just curse him and die. For her, it was very simple. It was a black and white issue. God loved you. You're blessed. If you're not blessed, therefore, God does not love you. You and I, we have a hard time getting down on her because why? Because we think the same way. When things are going good, we find it so easy to say, thank you, God. And when things go bad, we have a tendency to throw up our hands saying, man, what did I do to deserve this? Why, God, why? Did you hear what Job said to his wife? Job says, foolish woman, you're thinking like a fool. You're not using all the marbles that God gave you. You mean we're supposed to just accept good from God and not bad? God is this huge plan to bless us. And all of these words are said from a heartache of no more kids anymore, of being homeless, of being penniless, and being without any health. When Job was urged by his beloved to curse God and die, Job paused in his pain and pointed out to his dear wife, you know, God has a better plan, and I'm just going to wait for it to come along. And she uses that as an excuse to double down on him. She says, are you going to still stay in your integrity? Interesting word, integrity. Integrity means held together, in touch, close, not separate. Integrity reminds you that you're upright and you're firm and you're solid through the good and the bad. The black and the white. The sin, the sorrow, and the joy. For better, for worse, is sickness and in health. Yeah. In fact, a faith like Job's will serve us well until finally we see our Lord face to face in heaven, because What did Job do when he lost everything? Job said, I wish I had something to inscribe on a rock. I know that my Redeemer lives, the one who bought me back for himself. Job knew that God himself was going to come into this thorny mess of life that we've made it. And Jesus is going to shed his lifeblood to pull us free and bring us back to himself and heal us and forgive us. He knew that, and he trusted that great God of mercy. So now, going back to our text, some people come to trip up Jesus, to make him look bad. And they ask him a question about divorce. And guess what? It stirred up emotions back then, just like it stirs up emotions right now. And what does Jesus do? He takes him from Moses and the law in Deuteronomy back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, back to the time in Genesis before sin in the garden, and he said, guys, this is how God intended it, to bless, not to hurt. As clearly as possible, he let them know that his love and mercy was designed to help people stick together, not fall apart. So what do you do with this part of God's word? Well, you share that with somebody. You say, well, this is what God says. God wants us. And now I can hear you saying, yeah, but Pastor, it's not that easy. You know, when I lay it out there like that, like you just got through saying, oh my goodness, even sometimes when you're saying it, Pastor, it sounds so much like a kid. It sounds, you're just not, what's going on? Oh, it sounds like a kid. I wonder if that's why, after talking so bluntly about divorce and marriage, Jesus calls up the kids to himself as the disciples tried to push him away, and he said, if you can't be like a kid, you're not getting into heaven. Well, what's a kid like? A child trusts. A child trusts Jesus Christ, who says, come. It doesn't matter that everyone's trying to keep him away. If Jesus says, come, they're going to try and come. And Jesus steps in, scolds the disciples, says, let the little children come to me. Don't you dare keep them away. The kingdom of God belongs to the ones like these. And he took them up in his arms and he blessed them. Unless you become like one of these, he says, unless you take me at my word, unless you trust me, you're not going to get into heaven. So trust him on this. His design for marriage was one man, one woman, united for life. And yes, our world messes that up. And if the world has messed it up in your life, understand that God, for Jesus' sake, forgives all sin. Doesn't matter what the sin is. Jesus lived and died. He suffered on the cross. His blood was shed to get rid of all sin. If you were the victim of someone's terrible acts, understand that God has forgiven and has promised to heal, because that is how our God is. And be like a kid. Take God at his word. Say to yourself, you know, I'm looking at my life and I don't match up to what God wants, but thank you, Lord, for removing all of my guilt and sin. Thank you, Lord, for promising to be with me and healing the hurt that I'm having in life. Thank you, Lord, for helping me understand myself better so I can show your great love to more and more people. In Jesus' name, please, Lord, be with me and continue to help me understand this. That forgiveness is full, complete, and free. And I will show that in how I live. I will show that in how I talk, for Jesus' sake. Amen.